12th chapter of John's Gospel. But before we do so, yes, has come to the end of his earthly ministry. It is the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus has about 6 months to go. And we come to verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Forgive me, it's the feast of Passover, the last Passover that Jesus would ever celebrate. There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Sir, we would see Jesus. Keep your finger in that portion of Scripture. Hold up your Bible and pray aloud after me. O Lord, by thy Holy Spirit, open the eyes of my understanding, that I may behold wonderful things out of thy word, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. If you go into some of the old Anglican churches in this country, and if you can go up into the big old pulpits that they have, on the reading desk you will usually find a brass plaque. Over that brass plaque, that reading desk, there's a lamp to turn on when it's dark. And engraved on that brass plate are these words, reminding the preacher of what should be his true intention when he preaches. And the words are, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Richard Wurmbrand, if you've never heard of him, tortured for Christ in a communist prison for 15 years. Over 7 of those years was spent in solitary confinement and never spoke to one human being. Tortured, still bears the scars on his body, his back, his chest. Tortured for Christ. Richard Wurmbrand, when we had him, we sponsored him to come to the university campus in Davis, and he accepted our invitation and came and also preached for us in our church. Richard Wurmbrand, and I've never forgotten his words, "Every human being has the right to see Jesus at least one time in their lifetime." And then he said the only place that they are going to see Jesus is in you and in me. And I was reminded of an incident when he said that, that happened in my early Christian life. I think I was just a young believer, a few months old, and I was walking alongside the woman who led me to Christ, Sister Mabel Bladen, a Baptist missionary sister, worked for the Sydney City Mission, which was the equivalent of the London City Mission. And Sister Bladen, she was called sister because she was a nursing sister. And Sister Bladen and I were walking down towards the Sydney City Mission Hall. There was a little child, a little girl with her mother. And as Sister Bladen walked by, the little girl pointed to her and said, "Mummy, there goes Jesus." Wow. What do they say when we go by? Every person has the right to see Jesus at least once during their lifetime. The same therefore came to Philip, which was at Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. Oh, we love Andrew. Andrew's always bringing people to Jesus. Andrew was the brother of Simon Peter. And it was Andrew that caught Peter. You never know what fish you have on the end of the hook until you reel it in. And Andrew got a fish. Man preached 2 sermons and 8,000 people got saved. We preach 8,000 sermons and no one gets saved. Wow. Philip comes and tells Andrew. And again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Now I want you to look at the response. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat, fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." What's he telling them? What's he saying to them? He was the unique seed. He was the seed of God. He was the first sinless being since the fall in the Garden of Eden, born into the world. Born of a virgin. The man born to die. And as a man, true man, really man, he wasn't God living in a human shell. Jesus never operated during his life on earth in his God nature. He always operated as a man anointed with the Holy Ghost. Every miracle he performed was not to prove his divinity, but was an example to you and me how we are to operate under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Now Jesus said, "I am that unique man. And while ever I am just confined to this body, I can only be in one place at one time." Wow. But if the corn of wheat, if that grain of wheat, if that seed falls into the ground and dies, it'll bring forth much fruit. But while ever it's just that seed, it'll abide alone and will be limited. When Satan tempted Jesus, he tempted him to act in his divine nature. 3 times he said, "If you are the Son of God, move out of your human nature. Move into your divine nature." Do you know what your temptation and my temptation is today? Stay in your human nature and don't act and work in your divine nature, because you've been born of God. You are both human and divine the same way as Jesus was. Listen to Peter. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, the second letter of Peter, chapter 1, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be made partakers of the divine nature. If you're everybody that's born of God, say amen.
Amen.
Then how can God beget anything less than himself? Well, we don't teach that in my church. Well, that's your problem. Get out of there and get into a church where they do teach it. You are as much born of God as Jesus is. Jesus partook of our birthing in the flesh, that we might be made partakers of his eternal birthing from the Father. Listen to John, beloved, now are ye the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. When he shall appear, not as he appears. You'll already be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The earnest desire of these Greeks, we want to see Jesus.
Amen.
And that's what Doncaster's waiting for. They're not waiting for a new church, a new revelation. They're waiting for a people who will manifest Jesus. And that's what our message is going to be about tonight. That's where I'm taking you. Wow. We would see Jesus. Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Jesus said, while ever I'm confined to this body, I'll just be single me. I will abide alone. I'll be confined to one place in space, in time. But if I die, and that if is not a conditional if, it's a rhetorical if. If I die and fall into the ground, dead and buried, I will rise again. And in my resurrection, I'm going to produce a multitude. A multitude. Just like me. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. That's the whole purpose of you being born of God. That's the whole purpose of you being anointed of the Holy Ghost. That's the whole purpose of the Holy Ghost coming upon you to form Christ within you. Wow. Let's go on here. There's so much I want to get into in this tonight. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. This is a principle. And Jesus is the first one to practice it. He loved his life. Hello? He didn't want to go to the cross. He said, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause I came unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Three times in the life of Jesus, the audible voice of God came. First at his baptism in Jordan, when he came up out of the water. Second on the Mount of Transfiguration. And here, prior to his going to the cross in 2 or 3 days' time. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Do we have an amplified Bible here tonight? We have Philip, but no amplified. Pardon, you've got one in the car. If you would bring it, please, Graham. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, not 2,000 years from now, not at the beginning of some millennium, now is the judgment of this world. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. You won't hear this preached in churches because it doesn't agree with their theology. That's the problem with Jesus. You can't fit him into any framework. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Pardon? Yeah. Thank you, Andy. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world... Who's the prince of this world? Or he was. He's not. He no longer is. Who? What's his name? Satan! The devil! He's no longer Lucifer, by the way. Don't call him Lucifer. He was Lucifer before he fell. Lucifer means the light bearer. He was that. May I borrow that now? Thanks, Graham. Ooh, it's cold in your car. Amen. Now, verse 31, in the Amplified it reads like this, now the judgment, crisis of this world is coming on. Sentence is now being passed on this world. Wow. Now the ruler, the evil genius, the prince of this world shall be cast out, expelled. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You don't hear this over in Malky. I know that. The pastor hasn't got the revelation on it yet. Pray that he will. This needs to be... See, the gospel is good news. It's not sad news and it's not bad news. How was this going to happen? The next verse tells us. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. We apply it with lifting him up and exalting him in the service. That is an application, a secondary application, but it is not the interpretation. The interpretation was the manner in which he was going to die. He would be lifted up on the cross. And when that happened, the prince of this world, that evil genius, would be cast out and sentence would be passed on the world and on him. Glory. Turn over with me to chapter 16. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him, not it. The Comforter is a person. I will send him unto you. And when he is come unto you, is inferred, he will reprove, he will convince, he will convict the world of sin. What kind of sin? We'll find out in a moment. And of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not in me. That's the only sin the Holy Ghost is going to convict you of. He's not going to convict you of missing church on Sunday. He's not going to convict you of stealing. Your own conscience is going to do that. The only sin the Holy Ghost is going to convict you of, and me of, and the world, is unbelief. Not believing in Jesus. Of unbelief, because they believe not in me. And of righteousness, because I go to the Father. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The Holy Ghost is going to convince you and convict you and prove to you that the devil is already judged. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Now I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified. Chapter 16 in the Amplified, same chapter, same verse numbers. Glory to God. And when he comes, verse 8, he will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin and about righteousness, uprightness of heart, and right standing with God, and about judgment, about sin because they do not believe on me, trust in, rely on, and adhere to me, about righteousness, uprightness of heart, and right standing with God. The Holy Ghost is going to convince you that you have uprightness in your heart and right standing with God. That's what he's been showing you in your dream, David. Hallelujah. Wow. Now, listen to this. Right standing with God because I go to my Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment because the ruler, the prince of this world, Satan, is judged and condemned and sentence already is passed on him. Thank you. Then why hasn't it been carried out? You know why? Because if you put him in prison, he can't make restitution of all the things that he's stolen from you during your lifetime. Hello? I don't know whether I've ever preached on here how to get the devil to restore everything he's stolen from you. Revive the tape. Get it out again. I know I ministered years ago on it. But you are now at a spiritual state where you have understanding of the subject. When somebody owes you money, you usually take them to court. In the States, we take them to the small claims court. You, and that you, neither you nor they, are allowed an attorney, a lawyer, to represent them in small claims court. They come in small claims court. You can actually claim up to $3,000 now. And so when you come into a small claims court, you present your case before the judge, then the judge listens to the other side. And of course, if they don't turn up, they don't bother to turn up. If they're very wealthy, they don't turn up. A judgment is issued against them by default. And you have a judgment. But what happens if they don't pay? You go and hire a hitman? Of course you don't. You go back to the court. And what will the judge do? Well, very simple. He puts a lien on all their bank accounts, and they can't operate as a business or even as a person until they pay up. See, most people don't know how to go to God as the judge. Abraham did. You know how to approach him as your father, as your saviour, as your healer, as your baptizer in the Holy Ghost, as your friend, but you've never understood or been taught how to approach him as the judge. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Abraham had that revelation. He's the first one to have a revelation of God as the judge. And through his pleadings before God's judgment seat, he delivers Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah before it's destroyed. Wow. I've spent longer on this part of the message than I usually do, but it's important that you grab this for your own Christian life. Make a list of things that the devil has robbed you of. Past wages, inheritances, whatever it is. Joy, happiness, health. And go before God as the judge, like the little widow woman in Luke 18. And Jesus said, shall not God avenge his own elect? She goes before the judge and she cries out, avenge me of mine adversary! She says, I'm just a poor little widow and I don't want you to look after me or fight my cause. No. She goes, she has a right. She's a citizen of that city. And she has a right before the court. And I've got some news for you. Avenge me of mine adversary, she says. Who was the adversary? Your adversary, the devil. Your adversary, the devil, goeth about. She didn't say, I'm just a poor widow, no. At first the judge wouldn't do anything, but finally he did. And Jesus said, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry unto him day and night, though he bear long with them? I say, he will avenge them speedily, quickly. Hallelujah. Your joy, your peace of mind, your health. Make up your list and go before the judge and say, I want restitution. Avenge me of mine adversary that has stolen these things from me. I want them back, plus. Plus. Put him in prison. He can't restore anything to you, Josie. Wow. I know you're getting this. I know you're grabbing onto it. I can feel it. Here and in here. Tonight, make up your list. Husband and wives, do it together. Things that have been stolen from you in your lifetime. The love of family members. Fellowship. mark it down. They wanted to see Jesus. Jesus told them that when he rose again from the dead, he would reproduce himself in a multitude, and then they would see him in you and in me. Turn with me to Galatians, the first chapter. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Paul is recounting to the Galatians the experience of his conversion. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Galatia was Gaul, which later becomes France. This was the eastern part of Gaul. Wow. The Franks invade Gaul round about the 7th and 8th century of our era, and from then on it's known as France. But before that it is Gaul, and had the ancient Gallican church there, a descendant of the churches that Paul founded. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. You will never experience peace until you first experience God's grace. And from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world or age, according to the will of God and our Father. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. They've been seduced to start keeping the Mosaic law, the food laws, the kosher laws. For there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. These are spiritual perverts. Perverting. What a strong word. Perverting the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Anathema. Well, Paul said, even if I start preaching another gospel to you, then let me be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For now do I persuade men, or God, do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. If you're spending your life trying to please other people all the time, you're not the servant of Christ. You seek to please God first, and if pleasing God is going to offend others, then I'm sorry, they're going to have to get offended. If I have a choice between offending God and you, it's not going to be God. Hallelujah. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. And he's going to show you how that happened. I was taught it by the revelation of Jesus Christ, by the unveiling. That word revelation is apocalypto, which means unveiling. Like we unveil a statue or a memorial. Nobody's seen it yet except the Maker. Then there's the dedication service, and they pull a string and the curtain drops off, and there you see it unveiled. And Paul said, that's how I learned the gospel, by the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Wow. For you've heard of my conversation, that's manner, lifestyle, in time past, in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And I profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, now hear this, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, each and every one of you sitting here tonight was separated, separated from your mother's womb by God. Separated from your mother's womb by God. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son, what are the next two words? What is it? In me, not to me. When He unveiled His Son in Paul. Hello. When He unveiled His Son in Paul, that's when Paul began to learn the gospel, by the unveiling of Jesus in him by the Father. Wow. To unveil His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He gave up His old Jewish way of thinking. He gave up His old way of reasoning. And He began to let the unveiled Jesus inside of Him teach Him the gospel. Wow. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia. Now I want to correct a common error. I was taught this, and I know many of you have been taught it, that Paul, because he was chosen by Jesus to be an apostle, and the other apostles had 3 years of training under Jesus, Paul had to have 3 years of training too, which he had in the Arabian desert. Now that's not what it says. Listen to what it says. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. We don't know how long he was in Arabia, but it certainly wasn't 3 years. Listen to it. I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. He goes back to Damascus and he's in Damascus for 3 years. And then he goes up to see Peter. Nowhere does it say he was in Arabia for 3 years. And yet that's what's commonly preached and printed in books. But the other apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now come down into chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You need to pray that the Father will unveil Jesus not merely to you, but will unveil Jesus in you. Paul calls it a mystery in the Colossians. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's go on here. The life I now live, yet not I, Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Of is the sign of the possessive case, and my right school teachers. Is that correct? Of is the possessive case. So I can say the book of John, or I can say John's book. Is that correct? Thank you. They're nodding their heads. I've got a good seal of approval from the UK teaching system. Now listen to this. Let me put it then with the apostrophe S. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the Son of God's faith. Hello. You're not living by your faith anymore. He's in you. He's believing in you. You're living by his faith. We go from faith to faith. You've gone from your faith now into his faith. And that's how you're living. So faith is not a problem. Wow. I live by the Son of God's faith, who loved me and gave himself for me. Turn with me to chapter 4. Chapter 4. I'm looking for the verse, my little children. Pardon? Verse 19, thank you. Yes, I've got it marked here, but I've got so many texts marked in this chapter. Verse 19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. That's a sign of an apostolic ministry where the apostle travails. Every mother knows what I'm talking about here, about travail, until Christ be formed in you, birthed in you, revealed in you, unveiled in you. Wow. Turn with me now to 2 Corinthians, and with these two scriptures we're going to conclude. And I need to, for your sakes, because it's not Friday night, you can't sleep in tomorrow morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Many of my dear friends in the faith movement do not like this scripture. Verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. Well, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Now hear this. Always bearing about in the body, that's your physical body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest where? In our body. That's the only part of you I can see. From unveiled within, now it has to be unveiled without. And that's the only place Doncaster's going to see it. In your body. But somebody says, and I've had this said to me, that's really not talking about your physical body, it's talking about the body of Christ, the church. Is it? Well, you may be able to read that into it, which I call eisegetical. That's reading something into it. But let's accept that. Let's just accept that for that text. Let's go on. For we which live are always. Notice it's not always, but alway. Singular. Which means all the way. All the way from the beginning to the end. We which live are alway delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Now hear it. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in what? Our mortal flesh. He is talking about your physical body. Well, how is that going to happen? How can the life of Jesus be made manifest in my mortal flesh, in my physical body? And the bigger your body, the more there is to manifest. Wow. I mustn't digress. I can hear Sister Cody saying to me, Dad, get on with the message. Amen. You're not Sister Cody.
I'm agreeing with her.
Yeah.
She's agreeing with
her. Yeah. Where be thy headache?
Gone.
Oh, thank God. Amen. Let's hope somebody didn't catch it on the way whither it went. Turn with me, and this will be our closing scripture. Luke chapter 1. Mary, the mother of Jesus, contains the mystery of the church, the body of Christ. Paul was in travail till Christ be formed and birthed in the Galatian church. Luke chapter 1 verse 26. And in the sixth month, that's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Espousal was the marriage contract had been signed, but the couple had not yet come together, and so the marriage was not yet in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. Wow. And shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob for 1,000 years. Is that what it says? No. What does it say? Forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Man is not going to have anything to do with it. It's not going to come by positive thinking, and I believe in the positive thinking. How's it going to happen? Listen to what the angel says. Listen to what he says to her. Because here it is. This is the answer. The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. How's it going to happen? The Holy Ghost is going to come on you. The power of the Most High shall overshadow you. And that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Flesh of your flesh, Mary. Bone of your bone, Mary. Blood of your blood. It used to be taught that a child took his blood from the father and not the mother. We know now from biomedics, but that's not the whole truth. The child takes his blood from both parents, but the blood of the father predominates. God was the father of Jesus. He didn't have blood. The only person who had blood was Mary. So all the blood that flowed in Jesus' veins was Mary's blood. All the flesh he had was Mary's flesh. All the bones he had was Mary's bones. Everything he was as a human being came out of Mary. Just as everything Eve was came out of Adam. That's why he's called the second man, the last Adam. And so the Holy Ghost is going to manifest the life of Jesus, not as he was in the Gospels, but as he is in glory. John the Apostle says in his first letter, as he is, not as he was, as he is, so are we in this world. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, when I became an evangelical Christian coming from a Roman Catholic background, I began to preach against the Virgin Mary because of what Rome had done with her. They turned her into a goddess. But Mary was a real woman, a real mother. She wasn't intimidated by Jesus' divine nature. When he went missing, she said to him, "How is it that your father and I had to look for you sorrowing?" Well, she could correct him when he needed correcting. What a woman. You and I would have been overawed. Not Mary. She knew she was his mother. And she had that same psychological bonding with him that any mother has with her child. And every mother has with her child. She had that psychological bonding. Joseph was not his foster father. Joseph was his stepfather. Wow. So this is the purpose of the Holy Ghost. Pray, Lord, let Jesus be seen in me. We sang that beautiful song many years ago, we still sing it. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. Sir, we would see Jesus. Let's pray. Father, this is our desire, that Jesus might be manifest in our flesh by the power of the Holy Ghost, so that the men and women of Doncaster can come to know him, can see him, can come to love him, and also become reproductions of him in this city until the whole of Doncaster is a city of God. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. And everyone said, Amen. Thank you, Pastor dear.